Number 25. We'll start with number 25. There's three more here. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you might find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Someone raise the tune for us, please.
Thank you.
to the Lord. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this hymn. Reminds us of the Lord Jesus still calling us this evening. And we do pray that this evening none will put off this beautiful opportunity coming from the lips of thy Son, our Lord Jesus, and from his heart to come to him. And we pray none would be late and none would cross a fatal line and be too late. And we pray for blessing and help us as we open thy word and speak to each of our hearts this evening. We pray and thank thee and ask thee, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. By singing this hymn, it reminded me of something that happened to my wife and I on one of our trips to Cuba. We were leaving in November, and our flight was 10 o'clock. We have about an hour's drive to get to the airport, and we left home about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they say you should be at the airport, you know, at least 2 hours, 3 hours before the flight starts. But so we had 4 hours, and so we left at 6 in the morning. But what happened was there was some ice on the road that night and some snow, and most of the Quebec drivers who put their snow tires on hadn't put them on at that time, and the traffic was a mess. And it took us 3 hours to get to the airport. We were there just at a bit after 9. The flight hadn't left, but they had closed the office. There was nobody at the counter there, and we missed our flight. We thought we were on time, and we planned to be on time, but we were late, and we missed our flight. We had to book another flight. Finally, we got there, but still, you know, if they told me, if the air company said, we're going to come over to your home with the bus, we're going to pick you up, and that plane is not leaving until the bus arrives, that'd be perfect. So we wouldn't worry about the weather, worry about what time you leave, you just get on that bus. And whenever it leaves, the flight is going to leave with the people on that bus. And I like to think of the gospel that way. Tonight, you can have full salvation before you leave this room. You can be on time and not miss the Lord's coming. Now, perhaps you're going to put it off, as some people do. I can't guarantee you that you're not going to miss the coming of the Lord. But I can guarantee you tonight that if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you haven't done it before, you do this very evening, you can be on time, that's absolutely sure. By getting on that bus, they're going to take you to the airport, and that flight's not going to leave till the people on the bus get on the plane. Well, let's look to some scriptures this evening, because we have the Word of God before us. John chapter 8, our brother yesterday spoke from John chapter 4 about a woman who had 5 husbands and was living with a man that wasn't her husband. Well, we have a similar situation, you might say, of a moral character in John chapter 8. And we read from verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. That's in italics, so you could skip that. His finger wrote on the ground. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, this woman, she didn't come to the Lord by herself. She was brought there by the Pharisees for an evil purpose. But I expect to see that woman in heaven. They wanted to put a trap before the Lord because Moses told us to stone her. What are you saying? You know, they were very partial because she had been caught in the very act, and what she did, you can't do by yourself. There had to be two there. And the other guilty party, they didn't bother to bring him to the Lord. You know, I've enjoyed the details in Scripture of the Spirit of God giving us mimics with miracles sometimes, the Lord putting his hands over the eyes or fingers in the ears. And what does he do here? He stoops down and he writes on the ground with his finger. Now, if I was going to write on the ground, maybe you've written on the sand here on the beach, I don't know. If you're going to write on the ground, you're probably going to use his finger here. You're going to start writing, you know. Pretend it's a pencil and you're going to... And the Lord stooped down, and I think he used his finger, and he started writing on the ground. Doesn't tell us what he wrote, you know. But it tells us in this chapter that he wrote twice on the ground. Because after he spoke to them, he stooped down again. And he wrote again on the ground with his finger. The word ground here, same word for earth. You know, in the Old Testament, God had written twice on the earth with his finger. In the New Testament, here's God manifest in flesh, writing twice on the ground with his finger. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy 9. And verse 10. And the Lord delivered unto me, this is Moses speaking, and the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger, singular, of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. If you know a bit of the Old Testament history, when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tables of law written by the finger of God, he came into the camp, and they were already disobeying the first commandment, not having another God before them. They had a golden calf that Aaron had prepared for them. So Moses takes the tables of the law. He didn't drop them. He threw them on the ground and he broke them, because the law was broken already. As soon as it had been given, it was broken. It was a broken law. And if Moses brings a broken law in the people that were supposed to keep it, they would have all had to die and be condemned for breaking God's laws. So Moses has to go back on the mount. And God writes the same tables again with his finger on two other tables of stone that Moses brought. And when Moses brings those down, he puts them in an ark of wood. I like to see a parallel here with the Lord. I think he was writing the commandments. I can't affirm that, but I enjoy it that way. He was writing the commandments. I wonder what he's writing there. Ooh, I think I better go. He said, those of you that are without sin, cast the first stone. I'm going to go home. From the eldest to the youngest. You know, sometimes we're young and we say, well, I'm improving, getting better all the time, you know. What's the last commandment? The last commandment says, thou shalt not covet. Somebody can be sitting at meeting and having his Bible open, having his hands like this, And he looks like he's meditating and thinking about the Lord. But he's thinking about his friend's 15-speed bike he'd like to have for himself. He's coveting. Doesn't look like it. But he's coveting. It's something in his heart that God sees and says, you're not allowed to do that. The law says, thou shalt not covet. Doesn't say specifically your friend's bicycle, but that's what it means. And so as they looked down, after he said, those that are without sin, cast the first stone, they started leaving. And if you had been there, if I had been there, and I was looking at what the Lord was saying, and if he was writing the commandments, I'd have to say, well, I can't cast a stone at that woman. Was there a person there that could cast a stone at that woman? There was one. One that was without sin, the Lord Jesus himself. But he didn't pick up a stone to cast a stone at her. He didn't come to judge and condemn. He came to save. And what did he say to her? He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? You know, if you read a bit earlier on in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. You know, Moses was given the law, and they brought that woman to the Lord Jesus and said, what did Moses say about her? Moses would accuse her. She did this. And the Lord didn't say, but you did this. He wrote on the ground. He didn't come to accuse. He came to save. And so he's writing on the ground there, so he's not pointing the finger at that woman or anyone else. And tonight, the Lord Jesus is not pointing the finger, but he's having you consider, if you stand before him, he's going to have to bring in judgment those things that you've done. Read John chapter 3. John 3:18, we read verse 16, 17 quite often. I'm sure you know John 3:16. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you know, if you stood before God on the basis of the law of Moses, she would be condemned, they would be condemned, I would be condemned, we'd all be condemned. But if you, my friend tonight, young person, you stand before the Lord Jesus, God is going to ask you why you did not believe on the name of the Son of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And why is he condemned? Because he's a sinner? Moses condemns people that are sinners. They're condemned because they believe not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what brings their condemnation. Read John chapter 12. John 12, verse 48. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The words of Moses, the words of the Lord Jesus. We're not living in Old Testament times. In the Old Testament times, they had sacrifices, and God had provided for them in His mercy a way for forgiveness, because the sins that He forgave were laid on the account of the Lord Jesus. When He came, He had all that had been forgiven or laid aside in the Old Testament by the Lord. Sins committed before were not punished. They were to be put on the Lord Jesus on the cross. And the ones that will be committed after, to be put on Him on the cross. And yours have been committed after. The Old Testament, they had sacrifices to put it on the Lord's account. In the New Testament, there are no sacrifices to put it on the Lord's account. It's believing on the name of the Son of God. It's receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 21. Chapter 20, rather. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You know, Scripture tells us that all judgment is given unto the Son, and He's the one sitting on that throne. Great white throne speaks of holiness, and Him that sat on it, the Lord Jesus Himself. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. I don't know how many books there were, but it's books in the plural. God had the Old Testament written. Young man comes to the Lord in Matthew 18. He said, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? He says, keep the law. Somebody keeps the law, there's a promise of life in the law. The Lord isn't teaching us that now in the New Testament, but He was answering this Jewish young man's question. Keep the law. If you do these things, you live by them. There was a promise connected with not sinning. Nobody could inherit the promise because nobody did not sin except the Lord Jesus. So if we opened the book of the Old Testament and we reviewed your life and my life and the life of every human being since Adam to the end of time and read from the books of the Old Testament, we'd be condemned. Moses would accuse us. He would accuse you. According to your works. Not somebody else's works, your works, how you live, how you behave. Take out the book of Moses and say, guilty, none justified by the works of the law, impossible. Well, let's try another book. Let's try the New Testament. That's another book. And in the New Testament, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. And God offers forgiveness for sin, eternal life, eternity in heaven with Christ, beautiful promises and inheritance our brother was reading about this afternoon, kept for us in heaven. Sets it before you, and what He asks of you is believing. That's all. You believe, it's yours. The Old Testament, you do, it's yours. You can't get it from doing. You're disqualified. So God says, I'm offering it to you by believing, because I have someone who has paid for your sins. It cost God so much, I cannot measure what it cost Him to save my soul and to save yours and to fill heaven with children, His children. He forsook the Lord Jesus on the cross and He cried, the Son of God, hanging between heaven and earth, rejected by the earth, the heaven closed to Him. And He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God didn't answer Him. And it's not that He felt forsaken. I'm sure He did. But He was forsaken. So you wouldn't be forsaken. So God could put your name in the book of life. Because when the books were opened and everybody was judged according to their works, none were found eligible to enter into heaven except those whose name was in the book of life. So I ask you tonight, I'm going to point you with the finger, I'm pointing all you guys, women, young children, I'm pointing you. I'm not going to do it personally because I don't want you to be uncomfortable, so I'm going to point at me. So what about you, Michelle? Oh, if you open the books of the Old Testament, say, I'm guilty. If you open the books of the New Testament, oh, I was 27 and I realized I was a sinner. And I accepted the Lord Jesus my Savior. I put my trust in Him. Oh, He put my name in the book of life. And you know, I have many other scriptures that tell me I'm not going to be standing there before the great white throne. But you know, some people say that nobody was found written in the book of life there, but it doesn't say that. Read with me verse 15, 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You know, if somebody dies, temporary condition. Death is a temporary condition. A human being separated from his body is a temporary condition. Believers, when they're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. That's a temporary condition. When the Lord comes, the bodies are going to be resurrected. The living are going to be changed. They're going to have a body for eternity. And the unbelievers, they're going to be brought back from death to be in their bodies and to stand before God, before that great white throne. And death is cast into the lake of fire. It's no more possible to be in that intermediate state. This is eternity now. And it says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's hell. That's the final. You get in that lake of fire, never coming out. It's a terrible fate. F-A-T-E. Because you didn't have faith. F-A-I-T-H. Which is it going to be for you? Faith or fate? Why are they cast into the lake of fire? Because they're sinners? No. That's not what it says. They're cast into the lake of fire because their name is not in the book of life. Some of you have Bibles with, I think it's thumb indexes, perhaps you call them. Sometimes they're just, you know, carved into the pages, or sometimes they're sticking out and you go with your finger and say, you know, what's your name? Roger? What's the family name? I'll look again. It's not there. Peter, what's the family name? How come your name's not in there? Weren't you in Carlton? The year before, the year after, or this year? Didn't you hear that you should be in time? And what'd you do? He wrote on the ground. And he's going to look in the book. Your name isn't there. How come your name isn't there? I have a pencil here. I could write your name tonight. But it wouldn't matter. I write a piece of paper and a whatever. Not going to matter if I write your name down. But if the Lord Jesus tonight writes your name down in His book of life, wow, you're not going to stand there. You're not going to be there. But I can't affirm that all those that are going to stand before the great white throne are going to be cast in the lake of fire. That's not what it says. If God in His prerogative has written names, I can't say He can't do that. God can do what He wants. But John 3:18 says, condemned already because he believed not. So which part describes you? John 3:18. Let's see here. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Only two options. Somebody here doesn't understand English. I think I said put your hand up because you didn't understand what I said. But I think everybody understands English. You know, if you didn't, we could speak another language. We can explain it to you before you leave the room. But there's a danger if you leave this room tonight and you're not saved, no matter how old you are, you might be just too late. Fellows running to the train station in the morning, you know, and he's all blue. You know? He was only 1 second late. But he was late. The train left without him. It doesn't matter how close you were to getting saved. You were lost. I almost am persuaded. That's the hymn we sing. I'm almost saved. I'm almost believing. That's not good enough. He only writes the names of those that believe. Tonight, my friend, young person, you might have heard it many times. Maybe this is the first time you hear it. But there's a Savior who came into the world. And He went to the cross. And He accepted to offer Himself for your sins and mine. And God our Father proposes to you the greatest gift ever offered to a man, eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. It can be yours tonight if it's not yours already. It's not based on how much faith you have. It's based on the person in whom you have faith. The smallest possible faith in the greatest person ever will save your soul forever. Some people speak of having great faith. And when you speak with them about the greatness of their faith, you find they have a small Savior. A Savior that says, well, you believe in me, but you know, if you don't keep trusting me, I might just let you go and drown anyway. Well, that's not in my Bible. I have an all-the-way-home Savior. He did all that was required to bring everyone here in this room, everyone in the state of Ohio, and everyone in the United States, or anyone on the face of this planet. God has given His Son, and He's sufficient to save the whole of mankind. But He only saves those that believe. And we are very privileged in North America. We're very privileged to have the liberty to speak of these things here. Countries in the world, you can't go in the country with a Bible. They won't let you in with your scriptures. Here, not only we have Bibles, we can preach freely. So we have the privilege of hearing. And once we've heard, we become responsible. And I would want the Lord to ask you, weren't you listening? Why, your name is not in there? I'm ready to put your name down in my book of life. I paid for you on the cross of Calvary. I want you in heaven. Will you trust me? Will you receive me in your heart tonight as your Savior? Young boy, young girl, you might have heard it many times. All the Lord is looking for you to say, Lord Jesus, save me. And He will. Sometimes you hear children say to their father, Daddy, Daddy, you know, Daddy, Daddy, you know, Daddy, busy with something else. The Lord is never busy with anything else. He's listening for your cry to say, Lord Jesus, save me. He's listening tonight. Why don't you do it now? If you've never done it, do it tonight. You're not going to be late, for sure. And if you don't do it tonight, if you've never done it, you might be late. The fatal line might be passed. And you're going to live through this terrible scene where nobody speaks. There's no ground to stand on. They're in the midst of nothing. God is holding them there before the throne by His power. And He's looking in the books, going over their deeds to compare with what's in the books. And if the name isn't found in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. And my friend, what they are going to suffer for eternity, my Savior, the Lord Jesus, suffered for me. He suffered for you. And so, don't put it off. Perhaps you put it off before. We think of these men, they brought this woman, and she was fearful. She might have gotten stoned that very day. She was a guilty person. She wasn't stoned. The Lord didn't condemn her. She says, go and sin no more. I love this little passage in Luke's Gospel, our time's almost up, where it says the Lord Jesus was removed from the disciples, a stone cast. They wanted to cast stones on this woman. And here's the Lord Jesus withdrew from them by a stone cast. He's taking her place in picture. He's taking our place in picture in the cross there. He's being punished for your sins and for my sins. It's a wonderful Savior. And it'd be a terrible thing to hear about Him and not believe. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for loving us so much, for the gift of Thy Son. We think of these wicked men who were as guilty as that woman, and hypocrites, and we'd all be guilty of that. And we thank Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, writing with His finger on the earth. And we just thank Thee for these thoughts, that Thou didst have to write the law twice because we'd broken it. And we thank Thee for Your mercy. We thank Thee for the grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for these precious verses. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And we pray to be none in this room, young or old, that are condemned already, that their fate has been determined already because they believe not, that they would have faith, F-A-I-T-H, trusting in Thee, Lord Jesus, tonight. And we pray if they ever call upon Thy name, they would this evening even before they leave this room. Lord Jesus, save me. We thank Thee. Thine ear is bending to hear these cries and to write our names. They haven't been written already in the book of life. We thank Thee, Father, for these pictures, for these verses, for Thy word and Thy spirit, but above all, for that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, the wonderful Savior we have and know. And we pray it would be that of everyone here. In Thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.